Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a series of honest conversations about opportunities,
challenges,
and joy in ministry today.
These episodes are inspired by interactions with ministry leaders from across the country
as they explore possibilities,
learn from broad perspectives,
take risks,
and cultivate candid discussions
that generate disruptive creativity.
Hi, friends. This is Adam Borneman with the Ministry Collaborative Podcast, and it's my pleasure today to be with a friend and colleague, Dwight Shiley. Dwight's the Vice President of Innovation and Associate Professor of Congregational Mission and Leadership at Luther Seminary. He's also the author of Agile Church. He also directs Faith Lead and does a lot of interesting work in those areas. Dwight, thanks so much again for spending a few minutes with us.
Happy to be here.
Dwight, I've been following the work that you do for the past few years. I had heard your name from some colleagues just throughout the country who are trying to do some important work with ministry. And then I read your book, Agile Church, a couple of years ago. And it really is one of the very few books that I recommend to almost every pastor I talk to. There's a small group of books that I just think everybody should read if they're in ministry right now, and that's one of them. So, and especially now in this pandemic context, I have found it to be increasingly valuable and prescient with its content. Say a little bit about Agile Church, the content of that book, and I'm especially interested in how accurate has it proven to be in the context of all these crises we've been navigating these past several months?
Well, Agile Church is a book that tries to take up the conversation of how do we carry forward the depth and richness of the Christian tradition when the inherited structures for carrying that seem to be caught in a lot of cultural change, under stress, breaking down. Of course, that was before the pandemic, and we've seen with the pandemic, there's even deeper sort of unraveling of some of that. So the Agile Church is an attempt to really take a very clearly theological, spiritual framing of the problem. In other words, the core work of adaptation, of faithful innovation is another way we talk about it at Luther Seminary, is in fact spiritual and theological work. I think there is a lot of energy that's been spent in the last couple generations, even as cultural changes unfolded in North America and other Western contexts, to try to fix the church, to try to use, you know, whatever organizational techniques we can to make it relevant or keep people connected and participating and supporting it. And largely, I think that hasn't worked particularly well. So what I'm trying to do in the Agile Church book is to say the work is actually discerning how the Holy Spirit is leading Christian communities to adapt their life, to connect with their own members to begin with, but certainly also then emerging generations and their neighbors. And that that work is a journey of innovation where we don't know actually the outcome ahead of time. So when we're facing challenges where we don't really know what the solution is, we don't know where we're going, I think there are sort of two disciplines or two places to look. One is deep in the biblical stories of how God's people have faced exactly that challenge. So there are so many stories throughout Scripture of having to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit, the leading of God, when times are changing, when it's not clear exactly where we're going. And then the other thing I do in that book is to try to bring in some good insights, some of the best wisdom from the broader organizational leadership conversation, because all organizations in today's world are also wrestling with questions of how to adapt and serve their mission and their audiences in changing ways. And so there's a lot of really wonderful learnings coming out of innovation conversations that are taking place around, as a leader, how do you actually do that? How do you experiment your way into a future that is not predetermined, that's not known by the leader ahead of time? And how do you engage a community in doing that work expansively and inclusively?
The way in which you frame so many of these ideas, biblically and theologically, Dwight, is so rich. One of the best, most compelling images, I think, is the wilderness. And in your book, you write that the wilderness is where imagination is renewed, where the colonizing stories of slavery give way to trust and dependence on the God of freedom. It's a place of loss, hardship, testing, a place no one really wants to be. It's a crucible where the old habits and patterns die and something new is born. Churches used to the cultural support of the establishment era find themselves wrestling with the same question: how do we reorganize our life as utterly dependent upon God? And you wrote this before the COVID-19 pandemic. Would you say it the same way and just emphasize it, or what's changed?
I think I would say it the same way. I think what COVID has done has been to push the church out of the box, if you will, out of the inherited boxes that were in many cases already failing to connect with neighbors. So the larger shift that's taking place, I think, is from a really an organizational paradigm for not only the church, but many institutions in American life that goes all the way back into the revolutionary period. Ted Smith calls this the age of association. Once churches were no longer established after the American Revolution, we moved into this sort of new era of voluntary associations where people would organize themselves around various purposes and have voluntary members, and people would serve those institutions. And it unleashed all kinds of vitality and dynamism. And of course, church embraced that model as the primary way of organizing congregations, but also denominations and even seminaries get birthed in this period of time. And since the late 1960s, the age of association institutions have all been under stress and have been beginning to unravel. So if you talk to leaders, for instance, within scouting or labor unions or service organizations like Rotary, all of those institutions that are really age of association products are also experiencing some of the same pressures that the churches are facing. So COVID came and it really kind of sped up what was already a trajectory of change and erosion. There are older generations, tend to be older generations within many congregations today, for whom the age of association paradigm is just, it works for them. It's natural. They love it. They love to join and serve institutions like congregations in this sense, serve on committees. And yet for emerging generations, really Gen X and younger in particular, it just seems culturally strange because we live in what Charles Taylor calls the age of authenticity, in which the kind of focus of human life is no longer tied to institutions that one serves and affiliates with, but really to a different kind of individual journey of self-expression and self-discovery. And so people tend to disembed from institutions in the age of authenticity and are highly critical, in fact, of institutions, and often for very good reason. And so what that leads, though, to is this sort of collapse of affiliation and participation. And at the same time that there's this incredible yearning for connection, for meaning, and this hunger for healing, I think, and hope, and certainly the traumas of the pandemic and all that's unfolded in the last couple of years have really just exposed, I think, that deep hunger. And when churches were sort of unable to continue their age of association patterns of relating and being present together and all of that, there's this incredible displacement that's taken place. So in a sense, the wilderness is actually, I think, a rich theological metaphor for us to use as we think of what does it mean to actually rediscover what it means to be God's people, being led by God in a time of austerity, a different kind of suffering, of ambiguity, very different from the settled model that many congregations were used to or are trying to recover.
Yes, and in many ways, you're referring to an excellent article that you recently published called From the Age of Association to Authenticity. And I think you do a really good job in that article of presenting a perspective that a lot of us haven't used enough with what's been going on. And you apply it particularly to ministry context in a really helpful way. As I was reading your article, I was reminded too of even mid-20th century sociologists, people like Robert Nisbet wrote The Quest for Community and talked about mediating institutions and their role and the risk of their erosion. Later books, Putnam's Bowling Alone. And we're seeing all this play out in real time in some really accelerated, radical ways. And I think you're right. I think it connects to some of Charles Taylor's insights as well. And it's a really valuable prism for us to look through as we try to understand what's been going on. So I also commend that to our listeners, Dwight's recent article, From the Age of Association to Authenticity. And Dwight, all of this is very much connected to the work that you do with Luther Seminary and also with Faith Lead, with Faithful Innovation. I'd love for you to share with us a little bit more about that work and why you see it as so important.
Yeah, thanks. Luther Seminary has been embarked upon a journey really of trying to adapt how we serve our mission of educating leaders for Christian communities and continuing, of course, to educate seminarians through academic degrees and experimenting with how we do that more effectively and efficiently and accessibly in today's world. But alongside that, in the last several years, we've launched a digital platform called Faith Lead that is really trying to connect and equip and resource a whole spectrum of Christian leaders who find themselves looking for community, looking for answers, looking for resources, really around this challenge of faithful innovation. And when we talk about faithful innovation, we're talking about learning new ways to embody Christian identity and purpose in a changing cultural context, which is really about adopting practices and habits that allow the treasures of Christian tradition to speak fresh today. So as much about the rediscovery of ancient spiritual practices as it is the discovery of new technologies. And so faithful innovation is our way of just saying, really our core work is actually carrying the gospel forward. In some ways, it's going deep into the tradition. It's not invention. It's not forsaking the tradition, but it's really trying to figure out how can the core practices of what it means to be follower of Jesus and be Christian community and to offer Christian witness be expressed in ways that connect in today's world, and recognizing that many of the inherited structures that carried that faithfully for previous generations are no longer connecting. So we offer everything from a blog, research, podcasts, to module courses, events, coaching, learning communities, consulting, all kinds of things.
Yeah, in many ways, we sort of see FaithLead as one of our trusted siblings out there pushing in the same direction from another side, and we really value work, and I'm happy for folks to connect with you all through FaithLead and through the work that you're doing there. Dwight, if you were stepping back right now and just looking at the church in America, you've alluded to this in some ways, but how would you summarize your greatest concern for the next 3 to 5 years of the church? Decisions that need to be made, potential pitfalls. What are you most drawn to? What are you most concerned about?
So one of the things that I see and that we see in our work with leaders is that what age of association congregations and structures tend to expect of their leaders is in fact often not actually the most helpful thing for them to focus on. So if the age of association expectations for pastors, for instance, really focused on like really build up the institution, get more people involved, have the institution function well, sort of manage the machine of that, it's easy to focus on that and miss what in fact I think is the core work, which is actually helping people discover the difference Jesus makes in daily life through, in many ways, simple traditional spiritual practices that are embodied and expressed and tried on in very accessible ways that connect in today's culture. So I think the core work of ministry right now is actually the spiritual and theological work that is, in particular, making the opportunities in creating those chances for people to connect their longings and losses with the stories of Scripture and the hope of the gospel. Now, that's interwoven through the work of ministry in the age of association, even in those institutions. And of course, a fair amount of that takes place. But I hear from pastors, bishops, and other leaders over and over again how really they have very little time for that. And when those leaders really try to invite some of their legacy members into some of those spiritual practices, you know, that's disrupting expectations that they've been formed in for a long time, where those people really expect the clergy often to perform the faith for them, when it's really about inviting folks to read the Bible, to pray, to learn how to be witnesses in their own spheres of influence with their neighbors. There's a lot of reluctance. So I think the opportunity here is a spiritual deepening and a recovery of the Christian story and Christian practices and Christian identity, but recognizing that that's taking place in an institutional structure that is largely not designed around that. It's largely designed often in many places to be a social and cultural institution, to do community service. You know, all of that is not bad. And in its present form, it's not transferable from generation to generation and into the neighborhood, if you will, with where people are living today. So there's an opportunity to renew and I think redefine what that work is.
So Dwight, where you've seen ministries make that shift or dismantled institutional structures in a healthy way and reconstruct something that is more engaging with faithful innovation, what does that look like concretely? How hard is it to do that? What does it require?
Yeah, so I think the journey begins with listening, begins with introducing practices for people to listen to Scripture and to each other's spiritual stories in simple ways, and then begin to pay attention to God in their daily lives, right? And reflect and discern in that way. So those simple practices of listening then, I think, lead us into an opportunity to reconnect with God more deeply. And again, it's best to start this on the side of a congregation, usually with a few people who are willing to try some things on. And then as that takes hold, it'll spread. From there, then it's really moving into, as energy takes hold in those practices, congregations are able to sort of reevaluate some of the other things they're doing and say, you know, these committees really aren't as energizing as these practices that are taking hold. And then they begin to, again, be able to reframe those expectations, release some of the work that's going in these other structures. And then I think, you know, it's really about cultivating a lot of small experiments, inexpensive experiments that are often about investing presence and relationship in neighborhood spaces. So again, the energy here is not so much about how do we sort of sustain all this activity within the life of the congregation and get neighbors involved in it. It's more about sending out small teams to embed themselves in neighborhood spaces, to listen to neighbors compassionately, hear their stories, and begin to find ways to communicate how the gospel speaks into their longings and losses.
Is there a scripture or a biblical text that is keeping you going?
Yes. So Acts 16, 6 through 15, which is the story of the missionary journey from the vision of the man of Macedonia all the way out to meeting Lydia, is a text that I just find fascinating in this moment because it's full of closed doors and redirection and, you know, what seemed to be failures on the part of the apostles. And yet they end up in a place that is far beyond what they ever imagined and leading into this encounter with a community outside the city gates of women and this wonderful connection with Lydia, who becomes a key leader in the church. And so those kinds of texts, I think, are really rich ones for us to dwell in this season.
Dwight, thanks so much for the conversation today and also for the extremely valuable work that you've been doing with pastors and students for Faithful Innovation.
Thanks, Adam. Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network of pastors and congregations committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.